Let's turn this morning to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, I'll read the chapter, and then as we approach the Lord's Supper this morning, we will consider the Word of God contained in verse 14. Paul is writing here to the church of Colossae, and he begins chapter 2, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." So far we read God's holy, inspired word. Let's have a word of prayer before we enter into the explanation of this beautiful word. Dear God and Father, thy word and the word of Scripture is all breathed by thy Spirit, and to those who were moved to write, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Lord, open up this word to us this morning and enable us to understand it clearly, to embrace it, and to rejoice in it, and to find in Jesus Christ all of our salvation. Hear us, we pray, in his name alone. Amen. Verse 14 speaks of God blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. It becomes apparent, people of God, as you read through this epistle of Paul to the church of Colossae, that the church was in danger of being misled by a number of false teachings. These errors arose from the Jewish element in the church, who had been raised in the law, in the Old Testament ways, had been brought to Christ, but had much confusion in their hearts and minds. One such error found in this element in the church was the notion that the Old Testament requirement of circumcision and the Old Testament law of dietary laws and the various Sabbaths were necessary for salvation to be full and complete. This was a little bit different than the error that Paul had to contend with in the Church of Rome and the Galatian churches, which he confronts in those letters. There, the Jewish element in the church said that the work of Jesus Christ was not complete from the viewpoint that if you're going to be saved, you have to add your own works to His work. And as you stand before God, you present Christ's work and your own work to be justified, to be reconciled with God, to inherit eternal life. The error here in Colossae was a little different. They evidently acknowledged that there was salvation in Jesus Christ by faith. And our salvation didn't depend upon our works, but this is what they taught. If all you have is Jesus, your salvation will be incomplete. And if you want to have complete and full enjoyment of salvation, then in addition to your faith in Jesus, you must still keep the Old Testament dietary laws, the Sabbaths, and especially circumcision. It's sort of like the error of Pentecostalism today, which teaches that if you have faith in Jesus, you are a Christian. You are saved, but you haven't really the full gospel yet. And if you want the fullness of the joy of salvation, then in addition to Jesus, you have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so you have two tiers in the church. The second class citizens who only have Christ. The first class citizens who also have the baptism in the Spirit. It was sort of along those lines that this error was developing. Over against that, the apostle writes, verse 9, "For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." In other words, the fullness of God lives in bodily form in Christ. You'll find God nowhere else in bodily form. And therefore, he goes to the next verse, "And ye are complete in him." You are complete in Christ. Now, in the verse that we consider this morning, we find the basis for that glorious truth. The fullness of our salvation is in Jesus alone. Mention is made here of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And as we're going to see in a moment, this handwriting of ordinances refers to a certificate of spiritual debt that was found in the Old Testament law. Whenever the people of Israel looked into the law, they found a certificate of debt that was unpaid. And that certificate was against the church. It was contrary to the church. It condemned the church. But now, according to our passage, this handwriting, this certificate of debt, God has blotted out. And he has taken it all away. So that when we look into the law, we no longer see a certificate of an unpaid debt. And that's true because God has nailed that certificate of debt to the cross through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that explains why the fullness of our salvation is in Jesus alone. As we approach the Lord's Supper, we consider this passage under the theme, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. First of all, the object of this blotting out. Secondly, the meaning of this blotting out. And finally, the result of this blotting out. There, that's a new perspective. This passage speaks of the handwriting of ordinances. The word translated handwriting is used only here in this passage in the New Testament. And it's the word from which we get our word choreograph. In general, it refers to a handwritten document. More specifically, in society at this time, this word was used to describe a certificate of debt, You had to borrow money from someone. He was your creditor. You were his debtor. And written on the paper they had available, which was really papyrus paper, reeds smashed together, molded together in paper, and paper was scarce at that time. The terms of that debt were written in ink. Who owed what, how much, and the terms of repayment. Now, we read here that there was such a certificate of debt found in the law. And to understand that, we have to go to that term ordinance. Handwriting or a certificate of debt of ordinance. The ordinances here refer to the law of Moses, which was given at Mount Sinai to regulate Israel's life with Jehovah in the covenant. There was the Ten Commandments, but there was more. There were also the civil laws which governed Israel's nation, the life together as a nation, especially when they entered into the land of Canaan. And there were the ceremonial laws, the laws concerning worship, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the altar, the sacrifices, all the ceremonies attached to the proper worship of Jehovah. Now, the passage here speaks of this handwriting or certificate of debt, not literally of ordinances, but in ordinances. It was a certificate of debt that Israel found in all those ordinances God gave to them. How is that true? Well, first of all, we have to understand that our sin incurs a spiritual debt. What does Jesus teach us to pray in the fifth petition? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God has set before us the law. Love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he details how we are to show that love. And the emphasis of the Ten Commandments is all the things we are to avoid if we're going to show love to God and to our neighbor. And for every negative thing, there's a positive requirement. And every time we fall short and sin, we're a debtor. We're a debtor. And we owe God a debt. And we're debtors to our neighbors. And these debts are piles high, more than what we realize. Now the law given to Israel, among other things, pointed Israel to these debts. Whenever they dealt with the law, they saw their sin as they compared their lives to this law. And they saw sin and debt. And debts piled very high. And so in the law they found a certificate of debt. And this debt was against them. We read here the writing of ordinances, the handwriting or the certificate of debt in these ordinances was against us and were contrary to us, both expressing the same idea. The repetition emphasizes just how terrible this was. The church, every time they dealt with the law, they dealt with this debt, this certificate. It was contrary to them. It was against them. It was their adversary. And the key to that, understanding that, is found in that term ordinance. Ordinance. The term ordinance emphasizes the severity and the threatened punishment of the law. That's what that term emphasizes. And that is even found in the language of the third commandment, isn't it? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I'm going to hold you to your guilt if you take my name in vain. And that didn't apply just to the third commandment. That applied to every commandment. You have other gods before me. I will not hold you guiltless. You're guilty. The law is going to condemn you. In fact, to bring that even more powerfully to the Old Testament people of Israel, when they entered into the land of Canaan, they stood before two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and Joshua divided the people half on one mountain, half on the other, and all the commandments, all the ordinances were read one after the other in such a way that it was, blessed be the man who does this, and over here they said, amen. But in every ordinance, cursed is he who fails to do this. And they said, amen. And so the Bible speaks of the curse of the law. In that law, in all those ordinances, the church found a certificate of debt. You're a debtor. You're damned. You're cursed. Unless that debt is paid up. And there was nothing that the church could do to pay up the debt of sin and to remove the curse. They brought their gifts to the altar, didn't they? Thousands and thousands upon thousands of animals brought to the priest to be sacrificed. Not one of them removed so much as one single debt, and they knew it. It simply pointed them ahead to someone or something that God would provide in the future to remove the debt. But they didn't remove the debt. And all their tears and all their regrets did not pay for one spiritual debt. The financial debts of the church could not be paid by the church. They cannot be repaid by human effort. That brings us to our second point, the meaning of this blotting out. This handwritten document of our spiritual debts, God has blotted out. And He has taken it away. To blot out a certificate of debt means to wipe it away, to erase it. There were a couple ways that that could be done. Remember, we're dealing with the time when paper was at a premium, and so they found a way to erase the ink off that papyrus and could use it again. And when a debt was paid up, that was often the case. It was simply the certificate was, the details of the certificate were simply taken away, and that sheet was used for something else. Or it was sometimes the case that the certificate of debt was intact, but the name was crossed out, meaning that debt has been paid up. Well, in like manner, God has blotted out the certificate of debt contained in the ordinances of the law. The law no longer stands before us as a certificate of unpaid debt. It no longer proclaims the curse of God upon us. Oh, the law still shows us our sins. The law still reminds us of our spiritual debts. That's one of the great purposes of the law, the important purpose of the law, to bring us to Christ. Oh, we're reminded of our debts. But God has struck our name out of that certificate, so that when we see our sins, we no longer see in the law a certificate of an unpaid debt, a debt not paid, a debt still owed. That's been stricken out of the law for us. No longer there. To that has been added, and God has taken it away. He blotted it out, this certificate of debt, and He took it out of the way. That means essentially the same thing, but it again adds it for emphasis, and the form that it takes is called the perfect tense, which means not only did He do that in the past, take away that unpaid element of it, and that certificate of debt, He not only blotted it out, but He took it away permanently. So whenever we look in the law, we see our sins. We're never going to be able to see a certificate of an unpaid debt. It simply isn't there any longer. That's the idea. How can that be? Because God has nailed it to the cross. That's what we read here. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, the cross of Christ. Sometimes, and we're going back to the custom of the days of the apostles, a certificate of debt was marked paid by driving a nail through it. The name was crossed out. A nail was driven through it. Paid. We have something similar today with our modern technology. It's coming a thing of the past, but you go to a restaurant, you bring your bill, you pay it, and there's a spindle, and plop, down the bill goes on that spindle. Those are the paid bills. Same idea here. In like manner, God nailed our certificate of debt to the cross, marking it paid. How so? He placed the debt of our sins upon Jesus Christ. And He nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, so that at the cross He could suffer the curse due to us and the punishment of our sins. And that forever pays the debt of our sins, so that we can never be confronted with them again as unpaid debts. At the cross, God drove a nail through our certificate of debt and marked it paid. And that's what we're going to see and must see at the Lord's table. We're going to break bread. We're going to pour out wine as a symbol of the broken bread and the poured out blood of Christ at the cross. We must discern this morning by faith and the eye of faith the perfect death of Christ on the cross. Is being nailed to the cross. God nailing Him to the cross. Marking our debts. Paid. And finally, the result. The result of this blotting out is verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it all away. We by nature are dead in sin. Spiritually, we are the uncircumcised. But what has God done? He has forgiven us all our trespasses. Imagine that. All your sins. Every last one. And they are many, aren't they? And if truth be told, they're shocking in many ways. And the older you become, the more you see the terror, the greatness of your sin, the sins of the past, the sins of today. They're all forgiven. And on that basis of forgiveness, we are quickened with Christ. We are made alive to love Him, to serve Him. There you have all of salvation. Justification, forgiveness, sanctification, raised to a new life. That's our salvation. That's all in Christ. Because God took the certificate of debt that we could not pay and nailed it to the cross through Jesus' crucifixion. Indeed, in Jesus Christ, we find the fullness of our salvation. To enjoy the fullness of salvation, we need Christ and no one else and nothing else. Not our works, not something we do yet. It's ours freely by faith alone. Let's come daily to the cross. When we hear the word preached, may that bring us by faith to the cross, to the one in whom we find the fullness of grace and salvation. In the Lord's table this morning, the Heidelberg Catechism says, the promise of the gospel is more fully declared here because what you hear in the preaching, you see and you taste and you handle at the Lord's Supper. And so as we come to the Lord's table now, let us discern the Lord's body by faith, as God more fully declares to us, your sins are forgiven, the debt is paid, it's been nailed to the cross. In Jesus Christ is fullness of joy and salvation. Embrace Him, believe Him, and live out of Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask Thy blessing upon Thy word this morning. We pray, O God, that we may embrace Jesus Christ and the cross, and in Him be comforted that the debt of our sins is paid. The certificate of debt has been wiped away. We stand before Thee without sin in Christ, forgiven, given a new life. Give us, O God, to live that for Jesus' sake. Amen.